Verse 37, and you're going to find out a man named Ahab dies in this chapter. This is the same Ahab that gave Elijah a fit and goes against the things of God, has people killed to get what he wants. If I didn't know better, I'd swear his last name was Clinton. You heard about what happened to Hillary the other day, right? She goes to a class of third graders, and she spends 45 minutes talking to them. And said, I'm going to take 15 minutes for questions. And the little boy stands up and says, why are you a Democrat? So I got several questions. Why are you a Democrat? Did you really think Trump rigged the election to win? And are you telling the truth? She said, and the bell rung for recess. And they go out and come back in, and another little boy says, I got some questions. He said, why are you a Democrat? Do you think Trump really rigged the elections? Why did the recess bell sound 15 minutes early? And where's Tommy that asked all the other questions? In case there's any liberals watching, that's for you. So as we look in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1, they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And it says in verse 6, and the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. They replaced them that Ahab laid waste to. And said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand of the king. Your best day is today. Smile, God loves you. Your best day, your best you, the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church. They wrote all those books. Then verse 7 said, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Can I tell you something? People know when they're real and when they're not. You may fool them for a while. You may dazzle them with charisma, but eventually it comes out. And Jehoshaphat knew by what they were saying they were all wrong. But we're going to focus on verse 8 tonight. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. And I want to preach to you on that particular line right there. There is yet one man. And he says to that one man, he's Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. I hate him. 1 John chapter 4 says, if you hate your brother, you're not saved. He said, I hate him. And here's what he says about him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Just because he talks, but prophesies evil don't mean he's wrong. And here's what happens. Verse 9, then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imla. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes and a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenai, made his horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. Back up to verse 8, there's yet one man. There's yet one man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. Help us, Lord God, as we look into your word tonight. Lord, we pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help me as I preach tonight, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three statements about God's servant that we see up in verse number 8. That why it shows us why a wicked and evil man like Ahab would say there's yet one man. He don't never preach right when I'm around. He always preaches on hell every time I show up at church. It's like he thinks I'm lost or something. Well, I don't understand why that preacher's got to preach so mean. We had visitors here today, and there he was calling out homosexuals and whores and all this other stuff, and he's just got a mean spirit about him and all this other stuff. You know who didn't like this guy? Save people liked him. The people that didn't like him was lost religious people like Ahab. Ahab was not following Jehovah God. Listen, them 400 prophets he brought in was prophets of Baal. And when Elijah done what he did, first thing out of Jezebel's mouth is arrest him and kill him. I don't like that. They don't like when their religion gets showed as false, even if they cut themselves and bleed on the altar and can't get their God to do anything. And the real God shows up and does something, and they all get twisted about it. But I see the statements about our man here, that one man. Number one, there's his name. It says he's Micaiah, the son of Imlah. I went and looked up those words, Micaiah, and it means literally, it's a question, who is like to God? And I know by looking at that man's name, probably when he was around, he had asked them guys that's telling all them good things, who is like to God? And they couldn't answer him because they didn't know anything about God. They had no idea about the Lord and his word. They had no idea about why God was bringing judgment on a country. They didn't understand why everybody had to be... why everybody prophesied evil to the king that was called of God. They all thought we should just be nice to one another and let bygones be bygones and false doctrine be false doctrine. They thought that. That's what false prophets do. False prophets try to say, let's agree to disagree. God says, reconcile yourselves one to another. Agree to disagree is not biblical. And it sounds like two women talking. When men say it, it makes me think of something else. And listen to this. I see people come up and say stupid things like that, and they'll say something like, well, you just one of them old mean preachers. Well, bless God, I'm one of them mean preachers, and I guess that's the way it's got to be. I heard somebody say I was mean-spirited. I said, my goodness, I may preach like it, but listen, you're mistaken that. You know what it is? It's something you don't say you're a little panty-waist preacher's confidence, because I know this book's real. So tell that again. Tell it again how I bought you false teeth and you say I'm mean. So you're getting personal. Oh, I'm fixing to get real personal here in a minute. Tell me how I'm mean-spirited when I buy your groceries when you got put out of your house and your job. So who are all them people? They watch, and they watch every time I get up here. So let's hear about mean-spirited one more time. I noticed First Baptist didn't show up with all that stuff because you don't know that guy. If you called him and say, I got a committee, you called me because you know I'd do it for you. There's yet one man, and he always talks bad to me, Jehoshaphat. I don't like him. He always prophesies to me. Bless your heart and your little corn patch. Listen, it could get worse. You could find out what his daddy's name means. His daddy, Imlah, his name literally means plenitude and circumcision. Now, I'm not going to get into what all that means, but I'm going to tell you this. Where he come from, he had to walk away from something to go into the ministry. Yeah. When I see guys don't walk away from something to go into the ministry, I'll find me a hireling if I keep looking at them very long. Yep. See, listen, the ministry, while the sacrifice for your sin was made in Jesus Christ, the ministry requires another one. You know what it requires? Time and treasure. You lose both of them immediately. And by losing both of them, you know what you lose? You lose that nice job that you was making, what was it? I don't remember, but it's better than what you make now. You lose all them benefits that your parents said. Who's going to pay your insurance while you out there preaching? Who's going to take care of my grand youngins? Am I going to have to go ahead and get custody of them? We wish the backslid Democrat would, don't we? They'd throw that thing out of court so quick, they'll laugh you on the way out the door while Rusty the Bailiff's taking you out the door. That's for all you Wapner people from the 80s. And listen to this. He had to walk away from something to go do what he is doing. His daddy was a religious man that had plenty. McKay, I said, God's called me to be a prophet unto the nation. He had to walk away from that. Why do you think John the Baptist was eating honey and locusts instead of eating at McDonald's with the rest of the preachers? You ever thought about that? It wasn't because his daddy made bad money. His daddy was a priest of the order of Abijah over there. He was making good money. But by that time, they had them all took care of. But they would preach on all these hard things. By the way, John never run a revival for his daddy. Did you know that? Number two statement about God's servant we see in this verse, he says, Micaiah, the son of Imla there, he says, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. And when you inquire, the biblical reference for this is in Genesis chapter 24, verse 57. It literally means to ask a question, to seek for the truth or information by asking questions, diagnostic questions and whatnot. And the way the thing's worded here, the first time it's ever used over Genesis chapter 24, it said, we will call the damsel, which is Rebekah, and inquire at her mouth. They're going to ask her about that servant that showed up that offered her gifts to go back and meet his master's son and marry him. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit dealing with sinners right here. And listen, when we deal with sinners and we deal with the fact they're getting saved, we don't ask them questions that they can't answer. We ask them questions they can answer. And when they get saved, we don't fill them in with all the answers so they'll be able to stand up and say it in front of a crowd. They have to do that. I think that's where our churches get messed up at, is we take people off the street and tell them they're saved. And we tell them they're saved, we put them in out of baptistry without asking them anything about how they got saved. And next thing you know, they know the right answer and they lied, or they just don't know the answer. We fed them answers, and then when they get through all that, next thing you know, that we can't find them anymore. What happened to them? I'll tell you what happened to them. Either they had it or they didn't have it. And listen, I know people get backslid, I understand that, but I have noticed that when people get saved, whether you have a discipleship training course for them or not, the Lord's going to help them out with that. Whatever light they have, God works with them. Because after all, listen to this, they're his convert, not ours. I can tell you where my convert's at. Look around you. Look around you. None of my converts are here. None of mine, but all of Jesus's are, but mine ain't. I love it when people sitting there with a beer in their hand say, well, Greg Little saved me. And I'm thinking, I sure did. But I look down, I see this guy, I see his name, I see his nature. He's one that they knew could get a hold of God. Hey, you ever wonder why they call you to pray when it's time to eat? When you at your backslid Methodist relative's house on Thanksgiving? You know why? They know you can inquire at the Lord. They know you're real. They may not like it, but they know it. And when they get sick, before they call their preacher, they're calling you. Why is that? Well, two reasons. Number one, any port in a storm. But number two, if I know you can get a hold of God, I'm going to call you. And when you get down and out, or you got bad health, or bad news from the doctor, your relatives do, you'll call on anybody to pray, but you'll also contact those first that know how to inquire at the Lord and get a word from the Lord about it. And there's some folks today that hadn't figured this out yet, but they will one day, that if you can get a hold of God, why don't they hang around you more and learn what you know? And listen, leave that church behind where they at that don't teach them nothing but how to correct the Bible or how to have singings every 2 or 3 weeks without having no preaching. Yeah. It's an entertainment outfit. Yeah. And before you think I'm talking about contemporary crowds, I'm talking about all them crowds. Everybody's doing this stuff now. They'll get their style of music in there and replace the preaching in a New York minute. Why do they do that? It's real simple. Don't miss it. They want to get away from the convicting of God's word, and they will put anything in its place that resembles anything that has the Lord wrote on it. For instance, here's a tape table over here. It's got CDs and stuff we won't play in this church. We want you to buy one for $20, and we got 25 sin in it. I think we need to cut all that stuff out. I'm against selling stuff to make money in the house of God. Just throw that at you. And the reason being is religious people have no business sense. Most people that run their businesses don't have business sense anymore. How many of y'all, nobody see you but me, Nate, go to the single shot of me, don't put the wide shot. Raise your hand if somebody in the last 2 weeks has said it's cost you a quarter more to swipe your debit card somewhere. Only me and you. Okay, I'll talk to you. They just zone out for a minute. Do you know why they done that? It's one of two reasons. One, they just bought the business and have no clue how to run it. Or number two, they don't know what they're doing and they've been doing it for a while. Wonder why it is you go to Walmart and swipe your card in there and they don't say, well, it's going to cost you a dollar to use the card or $5 or whatever. Tell you why. They've already figured that into the price. Yep. Now, the one with no business sense is charging you for that swipe and they are to charge you in the product too or the service. Hey, man, say amen right there. You know I'm telling you. You scared they're going to hear you say amen and charge you a dollar more. Bless your heart, I wouldn't eat out if I was you. I wouldn't go to the grocery store, I wouldn't stop and get gas and pay for nothing. I'd just stay at the house and use a horse and buggy if I was that scared to say amen in church. Okay? Now, we can bring in prophets of Baal in here, or we can deal with Micaiah, either one you want to go with. But I promise you this, his nature, he could get a hold of God. And when people see through things and they preach against things like that, it ain't time to fire the preacher, it's time to fire up the preacher, and it's time to get right with God and repent of sins like that instead of passing it along to the customer, you. Amen. Now, we see his name and we see his nature, but he says in here, watch what Ahab says in verse number 8 there. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Right. What a nice guy this Ahab is. He reminds me of another goofball leader that don't know half what's going on around him, and he just hates everybody that loves the Lord. You say, who are you talking about? This is the first president that's ever walked in there and sat down as president that the Catholic Church has censored and said we wouldn't give him communion. If that crowd says you're bad, geez, how bad are you? They didn't even tell that to JFK. And we know he had some girlfriends on the side. Are you afraid them Kennedys are going to come down here and shoot everybody? They're too old now, okay, if they're still alive. Listen to this. We see his necessity. He had to go with God and not worry about what the politicians are going to say about him.
Right.
You know, the craziest thing I see all the time is these preachers trying to kiss up these politicians. Listen. A lot of times, you are literally kissing something that's cursing you every time you're not around. They curse your God, they curse your church, but when you come around, they want you to open prayer. Here, we're having a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and you can get in touch with God, so we want you to pray and ask God's blessing on this. I know it's a restaurant that's a beer joint, a glorified beer joint, but we want you to ask God to bless it. After all, we worked hard to get alcohol legalized in this camp. No, you didn't. You did a backdoor thing through the Masonic Lodge. That's what you did. So ain't you worried about them? No, I ain't got no application in nowhere. They infect me. I promise you that. I ain't going to be up there this Tuesday or next Tuesday. I ain't joining. I ain't signing up. And I ain't paying $25 a month or something like that or whatever it is. I don't know. I've never asked and never cared and never going to.
Amen.
Listen to me. I think that people get this thing backwards. Now watch this. He said, I hate him. And not only do I hate him, he says, Micaiah prophesied what God gave him because Ahab says, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me. I don't believe that every prophet always prophesied bad things. But when it come to Ahab and Jezebel, I'm sure it was bad every time they opened their mouth. I'm going to tell you something. I've walked in churches and nobody knew my name and sat in there and somebody get up there to preach. That's back when I was lost. I feel led to turn to Luke 16 today. Every Baptist in the world knows what that means. He's preaching on hell if he's saying turn to Luke 16. And I'd sit there and endure to the end. And they'd hold out the invitation. I went over to Brother Grady Gregory's one night. They had all the things full but the front row. Here comes long hair and flip-flops down there, sits on the front row. That guy immediately, I just feel led of the Spirit to go to Luke 16. I thought, I bet you do. He went over and preached on hell. 95 verses of Just As I Am later, and I was over there singing, I Shall Not Be Moved With This, singing Just As I Am. I was so stupid about that, I wished I'd have got saved that night or the time before that. That was dumb. And then when I did get saved, I'll show up in the church now and nobody know who I am, and they'll preach on things that I need. You mean messages I've heard on hell since I've been saved? I can count them on one hand. So I ran into this guy at ICU in Gaffney. Why is it every time I go to a church, they preach on hell? I said, because you lost and you need to get saved. He said, well, that's very coarse for you to answer that way. I said, well, you want me to tell you the truth, right? He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to show up at your church one time just to see. On Monday, 3 weeks later, I ain't seen the guy and forgot about him. Lord's given me Luke 16 on what rich people are doing in hell or what people are doing in hell and all this other stuff. And I get this message together, first time I ever preach it. I stand up to preach it, and we just got through praying or something, had men around the altar. I get up and walk up the thing, put my notes out there and announce my text, and there he come walking in the door. He told me after service, he said, I told you. He said, you had that waiting on me. I said, you very arrogant. You know that, to think I would wait from however long it's been since I saw you to wait to saw you in here. I said, buddy, I said, I'm going to tell you something. God's got your number.
Right.
I said, he's pursuing you right now, and you better get saved whilst he pursues you.
Right.
I don't know whatever happened to that guy, but I bet the next church he went to, let's turn. I bet some Methodist woman preacher got up and said, let's look at Luke 16 tonight. God's got a sense of humor, buddy. He'll corner you up sometimes with the weirdest situations. But we see his necessity was he was going to tell the truth because that's what God called him to do. And Ahab says this about him. He said, he doesn't prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And the reason he said that is because he viewed good as evil and evil as good. That's a sign when judgment's on a country. Judgment was on Israel at that time. And God was fixing to do more than just split them into Israel and Judah. He's fixing to bring the Babylonians in and take them all captive. And they're going to spend 70 years in captivity because they wouldn't answer to guys like Micaiah. They said, he's telling us evil things. Here's what he told him. Look at verse 13. And the messenger that was going to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word that of one of them. Speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. That's not evil. But watch what he says. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it in the hand of the king. Can you see him going doing like this right before he says it? He's being sarcastic. The Bible's full of sarcastic stuff. Because the next verse, and the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Even Ahab knew he was pulling his leg. So he says this, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills. This is what was happening while Jehoshaphat saying, have you got any more preachers? He said, yeah, I got one, but I hate him. They're sending for him. While he is doing that, this is what he's over here dealing with. He said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills of sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his own house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on the right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? God is setting this man up. And he says, and one said on this manner, another on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. So them false prophets was getting a message, and it was from a spirit. It was just the wrong spirit. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. I know who this spirit is now, and so do you. Care to guess? A liar? Somebody that says, I'll go lie to him and get him to do wrong. You in the back, who is it? It's the devil. There you go. Watch this. He said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. He said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also and go forth and do so. See, God has him on a chain. He may be a fallen angel, but he still has to do what God tells him to do. Now he's volunteering for something. God says, okay, and go do it this way. But Zedekiah the son of Kenna went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from thee to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah back, carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, unto Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction till I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. If you come back at all, Ahab, God ain't spoke to me. We got 400 guys over here. Take this little ram's head, and you're going to go down there, and you're going to push them all back. God's going to deliver them in your hand. And he says, there's a lying spirit in their mouth. And I saw the vision of it. And they're tricking you to go down there, and you're going to die. Let's see if he dies. What did I tell you the key verse this chapter was again? 37. So the king died and was brought into Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Wait a minute, he didn't even get buried at Arlington. How about that? He got buried in Samaria. Now listen to me carefully. The man of God told him right. He wouldn't listen. He just wouldn't listen. He said, he always prophesies evil concerning me, and I just don't like him. He's always bad, negative, bad, negative, bad, negative. I don't think he's bad, negative all the time, but, I mean, like I said, with Ahab and Jezebel standing there, yeah, you got to be negative with him. But nonetheless, he did tell a very positive message. He told him exactly what was going to happen. Look back at verse 34, and a certain man drew a bow at venture. Watch this. Watch this. Pulls out the arrow and just goes, not even looking where it went. And it says, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness. That's a one in a million shot with you looking at it. He just shot random towards the army, caught him right here, went right in there and right to his evil black heart and killed him on the spot. It says, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver's chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased in the day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound in the midst of the chariot. Wait a minute. I seem to have read about this before. Verse 38, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria. And the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor. I think I've read that somewhere before where another guy that prophesied negative things told him, the dogs are going to lick up your blood and Jezebel's blood. Oh, my, there it is right there. There's Ahab getting his. Yep. You know what the sad thing is? Jezebel didn't die that day. She stayed around and committed more evil and committed more whoredoms and done more and had those prophets of Baal prophesying falsely. And she had all that going. And then God stirred up somebody to go take her out, and they dropped her out of a window. And when she hit the deck, you know what happened to her? I believe it was the same dogs came and licked up her blood because the man of God said it would happen that way. Yep. Now here's the thing. Can I look towards Victory Baptist Church and say, is there yet a man here? Is there yet one man here? Can I look to Gaffney, South Carolina and say, is there yet one man here that will at least preach right to this crowd? Can we look to the state of South Carolina and say, is there a man yet? Is there one man still? How about the United States of America? Is there yet one man at all? I mean, you ain't going to go up there and open Congress and not mention Jesus' name in prayer, are you? I mean, let's Let's speak on this subject just plainly. If they said you got to do it and you had to fill out a paper what you're going to pray and you had to read that prayer back off in that Jesus' name, they wouldn't let you do it. What harm would there be if you just done like them Muslims and disregarded what you had on paper and prayed it anyway? What's done is done, right? I noticed up here at the Gaffney City Council, they don't mind you praying in Jesus' name up there. But how long will that last? There may come a day they tell you you can't do it up there. It could come here. You say, I don't believe it will. I didn't believe we'd see two men kissing on TV, but we see it. And it's just as wicked as when we wouldn't see it as it is right now. It's still an abomination in the eyes of God, and God's still against it. So there you go, negative again. If you didn't like it, it would be positive. And listen to this. I've never had a spirit-filled Christian fall out with me preaching against anything. I like the old saying I was taught early on. You may preach me to the altar, but you're not going to preach me to the cross. Is there yet one man that would say that? You women are sitting there saying, are you going to ask for a woman? No, we know you mean it's the devil. We ain't going to ask you. We know that. But is there yet one man that will stand up for what's right? 20 years ago when I started pastoring, or 25, whatever, however long it's been, I noticed most churches I went to, the women come to church and the men didn't. Now we've flipped. The women are not coming and the men are. Why is that? Maybe there was a man. Maybe there was a man that stood up for what's right. But I know this. Our job is to keep standing when nobody else stands. Stand therefore. And speaking of, let's stand.